Hey, y'all. Welcome to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to join the conversation this evening, it's pretty easy. You could email me info@gregoryricks.com. Reach out to us through the Winning at Life app. You can text, email, call through the Winning at Life app and become a part of the Winning at Life Nation. On Monday, we send out a weekly newsletter bringing you up to date on what's going on. There's a Wednesday Q&A that you'll be included in also, or you can just simply call us 504-260-0995. Once again, welcome to the show. Hey, James, yeah, how's it going?
Well, I almost had to bring my kayak today. I don't know what it's like when and where you're listening to the show, but the weather got really gloomy about halfway through this afternoon. I was kind of worried about, you know, losing power or losing internet, but I think we're going to be fine with you. We're still going to be able to give you financial goodness despite the ugly weather here. Want to remind you of this is your last week of the No Compromise webinar. And if you want to pay as little in taxes as possible, especially on your investment income, your retirement income, you have two more chances on the schedule. And I don't know if it gets too busy, you know, it's happened in the past that there may be another time added. But for right now, your last chances are Thursday and Sunday for the No Compromise webinar. This is where Gregory's going to be joined with a couple of authors who are going to run down different strategies and scenarios and ways that you can pay less in taxes in retirement. We're all big fans of that. Paying less taxes in retirement. I know if you want to pay more, you can, but you're not legally. Is that the Learned Hand? Is that who said that?
Judge Learned Hand said that you are not obligated no more than the law requires you to do so.
All right. I just didn't want to butcher the quote. So thank you for that. That's the No Compromise webinar. Sign up at GregoryRicks.com. Little blue banner at the bottom. What do you say? You want to just go ahead and get into the numbers or anything else you want to talk
about? Let's go ahead and get in the numbers.
Let's get into business. We're all about business today, then.
The numbers.
Welcome to the numbers segment on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. Follow along on the same charts and graphs we're looking at. You can go to GregoryRicks.com. There's a numbers page there. There's also one on the Winning at Life app. And you'll see the NASDAQ had a great day. It jumped up more than 1%. The S&P right behind it, it was up by about 0.33%. But the Dow Jones limped across the finish line down 0.2%. I don't believe any of these are records here, but we're still kind of staying in that arena. So a mixed day in the indices on Wall Street.
Awesome. Now the 10-year Treasury is 1.617% yield, so slightly lower, considering that inflation might have moved up a little bit. Crude oil, we're at $60.57, so we're seeing an increase there. Brent crude, $63.97, and gold and silver has moved up today. We closed at $1,747.10 regarding gold, and silver at $25.42.
When I look at the commodities, I notice gold's up, silver's up, oil's up, both of them. Natural gas is up. Lumber's up again. Lumber's up another 2% today. Gregory, this number is starting to get beyond astounding. It is at $1,180.70 per board foot.
Yeah, costing more to build houses, that's for sure, and many other things.
And I know you can't really draw a whole lot out of one day's movement, but that sure does sort of smell a little inflationary kind of feel to it, a little aroma of inflation.
Yeah, the widely watched inflation number came in slightly higher than expected today, but investors bet that it's not enough to spoil the economic recovery or trigger a reaction from the Federal Reserve. Oh, I do not think Federal Reserve is reacting at all to this. The Consumer Price Index, one of Wall Street's most popular inflation gauges, rose 0.6% in March and increased to 2.6% from the same period a year ago. Economists polled by the Dow Jones were projecting the headline index to rise by 0.5% month over month and 2.5% year over year. So, once again, the S&P 500 reached another high while the tech-heavy NASDAQ composite outperformed with a 1% gain. Treasury yields, as I mentioned, fell a little bit. Today's CPI report reinforces that we're entering a period of strengthening, but not excessive inflation, and we're witnessing the end to a long period of disinflation in many parts of the economy. Rick Ryder, BlackRock's Chief Investment Officer of Global Fixed Income, said in a note.
That comes on the heels of what we saw on Maria Bartiromo's Wall Street Week, where Robert Kaplan, the Federal Reserve of Dallas, the CEO over there, the chair of that little outfit, he was saying inflation is surging already. And just through what you reported in that CPI number that came out today, and then also just a quick look at, I know it's anecdotal, but the commodities mean something, even though it's just a one-day thing. This Robert Kaplan audio soundbite's kind of ringing pretty true for only, what, 4 days away.
If you look at 2021, that's right. If you look at 2021, I'm expecting, we're already seeing a surge in prices. I mentioned semiconductors, wood products, packaging products, food items, across a number of industries. And so when we look in this summer at year-over-year price increases, they're going to look very elevated. The issue is, and in my conversations with businesses, my question is, will we have more than a surge this year? Will it carry through to year-over-year price increases? And on that, businesses are more skeptical, and I'd say the jury is out on that question.
Inflation's here, Gregory. What are we doing about it?
Look, we're expecting some inflation. We've been talking about it. And what are we doing about it? We keep our money working is what we need to do. The biggest impact was out of what they went over. Gasoline prices were the biggest contributor to the monthly gain, surging 9.1% in March and responsible for about half of the overall CPI increase. Gasoline is up 22.5% from a year ago, part of a 13.2% increase in energy prices. Food nudged up as well at 0.1% for the month, 3.5% for the year. And the food at home category increased 3.3%. All six of the government measures of grocery store indexes rose, with the biggest gain of 5.4% in the category of meats, poultry, yep, fish, and eggs. And you know what? We've been talking about, things are going up. We are going to see some inflation. And so the biggest push was gasoline driving up the CPI.
Let me ask your temperature. I want to get your level of concern about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine being paused. Now, out of 6.8 million doses, six of the recipients have gotten some form of a blood clot that they're concerned about. It's paused. This could be an excuse for, you know, a little bit of calamity. What do you think?
What about uncertainty?
How about that?
Okay, rephrase that. Give me that statement again.
The pause of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine gives the markets an excuse to not expect the recovery to happen as fast as it was happening yesterday.
It's one of many vaccines. I just think it's a precautionary pause, and that is for them to take and look into what happened regarding these six events. And it might turn out that this has no bearing on the vaccine. And that's what it, out of abundance of caution, is what they've done.
Yeah, I figured the overall market doesn't care too much, but I think some of the stocks that are really watching this situation, you know, like a Carnival Cruise Line or American Airlines, they might get a little nervous over there. But I kind of have the same reading as you. It's not that big of a deal. This could just be resolved and they turn it back on pretty soon.
Well, everything is very heightened on the vaccines. Everybody's fearful of vaccines and such. And just so there's no worries, they're taking a pause and looking at it. So fine with it.
All right. Well,
and I think it's going to be checked out and then it will be going forward again. Another topic that's on the blog is five drawbacks of using only a 401k for retirement. Five drawbacks. 401k's retirement plan's an excellent tool to help employees save for retirement. I think it is a huge impact for people saving for retirement. You know, one of the benefits of doing that is you typically get a match up to a certain portion. I think at my firm is matched 100% of the first 4% around that. So, you know, that's kind of like free money. You should always be getting that free money. You should at least be putting up to that match. Now, if you're only saving for retirement in a 401k, it could end up hurting you when you're ready to start living on your savings. Here's five drawbacks using 401ks. Our friends over at Motley Fool shared this information. First off, the biggest drawback of a 401k plan is they usually come with at least some fees. There are plan administration fees, investment fees, service fees, among others. And just from the employer side, there's additional fees for the employers. That's where some firms don't want to do it, especially small ones, because of the fee that is involved. And there are costs, and that's just because there's a number of filings and requirements to make sure the plans run under ERISA rules. There's federal rules governing that as well. So if you work for a small company, the fees are worse since there are fewer participants and fewer assets to spread the fees across. Participants in small business retirement plans can get hit with fees as high as 2%. Most large 401k plans, those with greater than $100 million in assets, can get their fees down below 1%, with the lowest being 0.5%. Even with those fees, just 0.5% of assets under management, you'll end up paying quite a bit if you throw all your extra money into your 401k. Now, from a standpoint, look, if you're putting your money in mutual funds, you know, you're paying typically around 1% in management fees. In ETFs, a quarter of a percent. And if you're seeking professional help, you're probably receiving a fee on the account. So I don't look at fees as being some horrible thing. Just understand, if smaller plans are going to be a little bit higher, big plans less, you're always going to have a fee. If you're a do-it-yourselfer and using mutual funds, you know you could be anywhere from 1% to 2% in those fees. So once again, I don't see that as a really bad thing. You just need to be aware of your costs. Now, number two, limited investment options. The investment options are what's available in that plan. Few plans give a tremendous amount of selection. A lot of plans are very limited, and typically they limit your investment options to a selection of exchange-traded funds and mutual funds. You're not going to get a full universe of those funds. And that's one reason, kind of when I talk about that you're not at the old job, maybe your money might not should be at the old job either. Why? It's the limited investment options instead of having a full universe of choices. And number three, you can't always withdraw your funds, your money when you want to. 401k account is for retirement. And look, it gives you favorable tax situation there, and is one reason you're going to be limited on when you can withdraw it, because it's a tax favored account. So the IRS discourages you from withdrawing funds before what it deems retirement age, and that is age 59 and a half. That's a crucial age, because there's penalties if you were to take this tax-favored money out of the account early. There's an exception to the rule which allows you to start taking withdrawals when you separate from service from the employer sponsoring the plan in the year you turn 55 or later. Then if you're withdrawing funds directly from the 401k between age 55 and 59 and a half, once that you've separated at 55, you will not have the 10% early withdrawal penalty. Now, keep in mind, if you roll that over to an IRA, say at 55, 56, and you're not 59 and a half, you will have that penalty when you withdraw it from an IRA in that case. Now, you can also tap in your 401k early by taking substantially equal periodic payments under code 72T. And if you do so, you're committed to taking those withdrawals for at least 5 years or until you turn 59 and a half, whichever is later. To me, that's kind of like, that's last resort because that is complicated. Number four, you may be forced to withdraw your funds, your money, when you don't want to. Yeah, they're susceptible to what's called the required minimum distribution, and that starts at age 72. So even 401ks, you have to do that. And here's to me this the biggest thing. Taxes can become one of your biggest expenses in retirement if you don't plan properly. And if you only save for retirement in a 401k, you won't be able to do much to avoid paying those taxes. All employer contributions to a 401k are tax deferred, which means you'll be paying taxes upon withdrawal, and not everybody has access to Roth 401k where you pay the taxes up front instead upon withdrawal. So remember, you're making contributions pre-tax into a 401k. The matches are going in pre-tax and it grows tax deferred. So what you have is a really big account that's not taxed, and you'll start being taxed when you start those withdrawals. So kind of five reasons to not have that as your only place to accumulate money for retirement.
The old 72T doesn't make a whole lot of appearances on this show, but I forget about that from time to time.
Yeah, it is a way to get money out of account, IRA accounts, pre-59 and a half, and avoid the 10% penalty. So simply a couple thoughts on that is, it has to go 5 years or beyond age 59 and a half, whichever is longer. You cannot alter the plan because you could blow it up. And I recommend you segregate 72T money from other IRA money. I would not 72T the entire account. I would only 72T a block of it. That way, if you needed to access more funds, you could do so with the part that was not tied to the 72T, and therefore you would not blow up the plan.
So Twyla is asking via the Facebook Live feed, can I draw my ex-husband's Social Security if he passes away, if I remarried, but now I'm divorced? Now, in the background on the break, I asked her a couple of questions. How long were you married to him? She says 13 years. Are you single now? Yes. What is your age? She's 58. So give her the news, Gregory.
She's eligible for widower benefits. She's eligible for widow benefits. The divorce freed her up to access the previous husband's Social Security record. And one of the key things is you were married to your ex-spouse for at least 10 years. And eligible for those benefits for widow's benefits are as early as age 60 to draw those benefits. Remember, there's a reduction because it's still considering your FRA. Her FRA is going to be age 67. So if she's turning it on early, it will reduce the benefits at that point. There's also an income test as well on that. But important thing on her work record can continue to grow. So if she switches over later, starts on the widow's benefits early, and just say early 60s, and then later at her FRA or as late as 70, she switches over to her work record because it is larger. The haircut does not carry forward. So say she has, just use example, 20% reduction on the widow's benefits, she will receive 100% of her work record when she switches to that at a later time.
All right. Does that help, Twyla? I appreciate you sticking with all the follow-up questions there so we can give you the whole story. But that's thank you very much to Twyla for sharing her situation. And that the survivor benefit, widow's benefit, whatever the official name is, she would get 100% of his benefit, or if she turned it on early, it'd be a prorated?
Well, it's going to be reduced. It's basically the FRA. There's a reduction. Okay. On that.
But if he's not dead, if he's still alive and she gets divorced from the second guy,
she's eligible for the spousal benefit if he's alive. Now, he just needs to be of Social Security eligibility age to draw from his benefit. He can be alive and he may not have turned it on. And what she draws from the spousal benefit does not affect his benefit. He won't even know. He won't be notified at all.
You don't have to talk to him, hear his voice again.
No.
And Twyla just responded. She says, thanks. You're welcome, Twyla. Thanks for being a part of the show today. Yeah, so that's something that constantly comes up on this show, Social Security. And Gregory, just about everyone that is going to come to you and say, hey, will you help me with my financial plan? That's going to have to be something that gets addressed. Social Security.
Yeah, I was having a discussion about that. Couple of things. You know, when you kind of consider, you know, in my day job, my firm works in five core areas, income planning, investment planning, tax efficiency, healthcare planning, and estate planning. You know, when we get to the 50-50 concept, you know, half the people don't save money, half the people have money saved. So from a investment planning standpoint or income planning, which falls in a tie-in with investment planning, we can't help half the people in that area. But Social Security planning comes on the income planning side. And I'll say 90% of the people are eligible for Social Security benefits. The 10% are those probably working in government jobs, usually state municipalities such as that, because they don't participate in Social Security, so they would be impacted by the windfall elimination provision or not have any Social Security benefit as well because they're getting a pension from that job. So where they're receiving a pension and did not participate in Social Security, that's 10%. So 90% of the people have Social Security eligibility. And as we talk about, that's a pretty complicated area and what I can help those people. So once again, of that part, when you look at the population from a Social Security standpoint, yeah, we can help 90% of the people with information, question, or strategies regarding Social Security. Motley Fool had another article up that I liked. And once again, you know, we talked about understanding 401k, five problems if your 401k is your only place you're saving money. And one of the big impacts, you know, I've sat down with folks that have $2 million in their 401k. And it's also going like this. How much you have emergency savings? Well, $5,000. You have any money outside of your 401k? Any other accounts? You got any IRAs, any Roth money, any annuities? Nope. Just got my 401k. You know that money's taxed as ordinary income when you distribute it. You know, at $2 million, if you cashed it, you're giving up about 40% of that value. So remember, Uncle Sam is sharing that account with you and trusting you to grow it because then you grow the taxes for Uncle Sam. So just think about that.
Well, and if 40% doesn't sound big to you, 40% of $2 million is $800,000.
Yeah, that's a big, big number out there. Okay, let's shift over to this article from Motley Fool that's on the Gregory Ricks News blog. Four retirement savings mistakes you can't afford to make. And this ties into what we talked about in the 401k. Number one, not getting your full employer 401k match. You know, if they're matching 100% of the first 4%, you should be doing that. You said, well, you know, I really don't want to save money, but you're getting free money if you save 4%. You're getting 100%, or if it's up to 5%, whatever that is, you should do enough to do that. You should do more. But, you know, I talk about the three worlds. I want you to have that pre-tax money that you're putting away. I'd like to see you growing some tax-free money like Roths, or we have a max funding strategy as well that works well. And after tax savings that you're paying taxes, you go or creating step basis or having a cost basis built into it where everything's not taxable coming out like your 401k. So make sure you're participating in that and getting that match. It's that important. Number two, not taking advantage of catch up contribution. So once you turn age 50, if you don't know this, you're eligible to put more money in to your IRAs. You can put additional $6,000 a year in your 401k as well. If you have an IRA, you'll get an extra $1,000 a year with catch-up opportunities. The 401k, I was $500 off, it's $6,500 on the catch-up. So once you turn age 50, you can start putting more money into those accounts. Number three, James and I talked about this on the break. He thought this would bother me. I don't like being aggressive on investments. And some people that are very conservative can consider any stock holdings kind of aggressive. But when I talk about aggressive, is like having high percentage of your money in the stock investment category. So the money you put in your retirement plan shouldn't just sit in cash. Rather, it should be, you should invest it so it grows into a larger sum over time. And in the article, they're saying, be careful not to invest too conservatively.
All right, tell me what too conservative is then, because this is where I got stuck.
Well, like using CDs only. I work with people that do that only. Look, there's nothing wrong with it, but the history of the market shows you could average a higher return. If you're using fixed indexed annuities, using par rate and using them structured for growth, you could beat CD rates as well over historical. So from that standpoint, with the at my firm's investment philosophy, and we call that the invest 50-50 philosophy, we think a portion of your assets should be in stock ETFs correlated to the invested in the stock indices. And we believe you should have some bond ETFs as well. I like me some taxable bonds. And you should have some money in the fixed index linked category as well, where you're getting the upside the market and not participating in the negative side of the market. So that gives you a portion of protected money and you lock in growth as you go. So I think you should have some risk, but it's subject to what your tolerance is and improve your overall return over the long haul. And the biggest one, number four, not thinking about long-term tax consequences. You need to think about the taxes you're going to pay in the future when you start distributions. If we can work and create efficiency there, less taxes means more discretionary income for you to enjoy in those retirement years.
Tom in Mandeville, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Tom?
Oh, yes. I'm calling about Social Security. My wife passed away in 2019, and I was wondering, would I qualify for any widow benefits?
What is your age, Tom?
I'm 61.
61. Are you still working?
Yeah, I'm actually due later, like DoorDash.
Okay. You would qualify for the widow's benefits in that case because she has passed at eligibility as early as age 60. There is a reduction because you're 61, so you're not full retirement age. Your FRA age obviously is 67 in that case. So it would be a reduction in benefits if you turn that early. There is an income test as well. It would be a reduction in benefits. It wouldn't pay you depending on how much money you're making annually. So that would be a consideration of that as well. Do you have...
Okay,
go ahead. You got another question?
No. Well, no. I was just told that I'd have to make less than $17,000 a year to be able to qualify for them.
Yeah, less than $18,960.
Okay.
So there is an income test on that. But there's some situations that it makes it worthwhile to turn on. So what kind of money are you making on your side gig now?
Well, right now, probably, because I just started it a few months ago.
Okay.
I'm going to say $3,000 a month.
Okay. You're doing pretty good. So once again, you're going to reach a point. When you reach your FRA, for example, or get close to that, it might be viable to turn on that benefit and then switch to your record later. if it's going to be the larger benefit. Tom, call our office. We can give you some more help on that.
Thank you very much for hanging out with us today. Your home away from the show is the Winning at Life app and GregoryRicks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.